The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai, episode 265. Welcome to the Business Couch with Dr. Yishai, where we talk about applying high leverage psychology in your business and life. I'm your host, Dr. Yishai Barkadari, licensed psychologist, private practice owner, speaker, executive coach, and consultant. I became a psychologist to learn how to leverage psychology and help others do the same. For over a decade, I've been tracking how psychology gets in the way of smart and results-driven people. For years, I've developed frameworks and tools to help them leverage psychology instead to launch themselves forward. It's my mission to share my hard-earned lessons with you so you can launch yourself forward too. I can't wait to talk high leverage psychology with you so you can learn to take higher leverage action today. Let's talk high leverage psychology. Last week, we talked about one strategy that will uplift everyone around you, getting them to do better. Not only that, but they'll love you for it and do more of what you want as well. Today, I'm talking about a silent relationship killer. The kind that brings couples into my office all the time, ruins their day, and sneaks in to undermine their dream marriage and their lives together. But it goes beyond marriage. It affects friends, family, and business relationships too. Want to uncover the common practice that kills relationships? Do you want to learn how to undo the damage and create win-wins for everyone instead? Well, then buckle up and listen closely, because we're about to dive in. When I was younger, I dreamed of having an idyllic marriage. You know, the Disney kind with a happily ever after. I mean, didn't we all? No? Maybe not all teenage guys were obsessing about it as much as I was. And I might have been a bit eager and early to the party. At 15, I was already thinking about dating as the path to finding a wife and wondering if it's worth even starting to date in high school. To be fair, that might have been a little bit about me being a nerdy kid who lived 20 miles away from all of my classmates, through LA traffic, no less. Without my driver's license, a car, or tons of options, I might have been a little sour on dating. Still, it didn't stop my nerdy brain from wanting to figure out how to have my dream marriage. So I spent months pestering everyone I could. My parents, uncles, aunts, cousins, teachers. I'm sure I even asked the librarian. I read books, searched the internet, and heard a lot of conventional wisdom. You know, like happy wife, happy life, and the key to having a happy relationship is compromise. I'll be honest, as eager as I was, a lot of the advice really didn't sit well with me, because a lot of it essentially boiled down to one point. Give up pieces of yourself for your partner and your marriage. I didn't realize it then, but I had a hunch there had to be a better way. More on that in just a couple of minutes. It wasn't until much later that I heard the phrase conventional wisdom often produces conventional results. So with divorce rates around 50%, were people bad at putting conventional wisdom into action? Or was it an actual coin toss? That phrase, conventional wisdom often produces conventional results, it's a quote from Bill Walsh's book, The Score Takes Care of Itself. Bill Walsh is widely known as a key figure in football. As a coach, he brought lessons and wisdom from leadership to the game, which he implemented to transform the 49ers from performing their worst to their absolute best. It got me wondering if my intuition maybe was right. Chasing wisdom as a teenager only got me the wisdom that creates conventional results. Several years ago, I heard Chris Voss, FBI negotiator and author of Never Split the Difference, unleash a relentless attack on compromise in negotiation, whether in a high-stakes hostage situation or in the business world. Compromise is defined by parties pushing each other to give something up in order to try to get something that they want. The most common result is that nobody really leaves the negotiating table happy. Unless they fake and lie about what they really want and pretend to give something up that's not actually important to get something that really is important to them. Which solidified ideas that have been brewing in my brain for decades. I can't tell you how often couples come into marriage counseling having spent years, decades trying to compromise with each other. And half of the work that we end up doing together is unraveling how their attempts to compromise have actually chipped away at the foundation of their marriage. Because in marriage, compromise often feels like giving up a piece of yourself just to get something that you want, or to give your partner something that they want. And there are only so many pieces of ourselves we can give up before we start feeling like a shell of the person we used to be. Here's a question I often ask couples when we're talking about the idea of compromise in relationships. If you had a contract in front of you and it stated that every time you wanted something or every time your partner wanted something, you had to give up a piece of yourself, would you sign up for 50 years about? If you had a contract in front of you and it stated that every time you wanted something, you had to give up a piece of yourself, that every time your partner wanted something, you had to give up a piece of yourself, would you sign up for 50 years of that? What would you feel like after 5 years, 10 years, 25 years? You know, I've yet to find a couple that were jumping out of their seats, excited for the prospect, wanting to sign on that dotted line. Now, usually I get some pushback because conventional wisdom says it's the best way. Compromise is the only way. So couples often ask me, is there really another way? Yeah, there sure is. But before I unpack how to create solutions without compromise, let's understand the negative impact of compromise. I hear these kinds of conversations all the time when I'm working with couples or even individual clients on relationship issues. Here's a typical example, though I've altered personal details, of course, to protect my clients. Amy wants something, so she turns to Richard, her husband, and asks for it. Richard pauses, thinks for a minute, and then explains why he thinks it's not reasonable or it's not a good idea. Amy's feeling hurt and frustrated. She's really disappointed. She asks why Richard always shuts her down or denies her every request. She yells, maybe she calls him a bunch of mean names, and bursts out crying. She asks why he never compromises. And Richard feels really bad, so he compromises, which really feels like giving in, only he feels resentful, like he's doing it against his own judgment and never really had a choice to begin with. These types of interactions happen on a weekly and monthly basis for years. Richard asks Amy for something, and she says no. Richard feels the resentment bubble up and he can't hold it in, and suddenly he's telling Amy about how much he sacrifices for her all the time, how much he compromises, and she can't do this one little thing. And before he knows it, it's coming out of his mouth. He's calling her ungrateful and selfish. They both wonder if the relationship is really working for them. Even though they apologize and they talk about it later, they try to move on, but they don't really forget. The feelings keep simmering beneath the surface. They boil over when they ask each other for something and feel like they're always compromising, but never really getting what they want and what they need from each other. And here's a little secret I want to share with you. When we start a conversation with our partner and have a specific end result in mind, we might already be creating tension and conflict because it puts the relationship and our partner in the position of having only two options. Agree or disagree. Give me what I'm asking for or deprive me of my desires. It can become really black and white. A lot of people begin their relationships feeling very optimistic. They hope and believe their partner will wholeheartedly and emphatically agree the vast majority of the time. Everything seems to go so smoothly and easily when your partner agrees, when you make a request or you want something. But then when they disagree, it creates tension. And that's when the mental and verbal arm wrestling begins. That's when people start to try to convince each other. They start to lay out arguments and logic and reasons that it should be this way or shouldn't be this way. Except what's now at stake is not just losing, it's the feelings of frustration, disappointment, rejection, hurt, sadness, all of the things that follow. And it's practically guaranteed that one partner is going to feel that way in the end, if not both. It's like betting on a coin flip. And if it lands heads, you win and you get what you bet on. If it lands on tails, then you have to fight each other until one of you loses. And that can be miserable, at times even brutal, because it pits couples against each other. People can feel like their partner is resisting, holding them back, creating issues. And that kind of thinking can have a seriously negative impact on a relationship in the long term, which is where the idea of compromise comes in. Compromise is the idea that you can end the fighting by choosing to give a little to get a little. The problem is people still walk away feeling frustration, disappointment, rejection, hurt, sadness, even bitterness. And even when they compromise, they still had to give up and give away a piece of their wants, needs, goals, or dreams. They still lose because their hopes and dreams are crushed. Gone is the partner who wholeheartedly and emphatically jumped on board to help me get what I want, to accomplish my goals, to live out our dreams. And it can be the same with friends, family, and even business. When we walk into a situation and the only two options are jump on board or deny the task, it creates a competitive dogfight dynamic. Sometimes that can work. Often, it's not a recipe for a lasting and mutually beneficial relationship, a meaningful relationship. So how do you solve issues and address requests without compromise? It's a simple three-step process I call turn, key, solution paradigm. Step one is you take turns clarifying each person's wants, their needs, their goals, their constraints. It's important to have clarity about what's important, why it's important, and any limitations or boundaries. It's equally important to affirm that every want, every need, every goal, every constraint is a core part of the process, and that we're not going to start calling into question or pressuring one person's wants or goals or their constraints to change. We're just going to accept them as is upfront. Step two, the key to unlocking win-win solutions is taking a mindset of cooperation, giving, and abundance. Reminding yourself and each other that when you have everything on the table and two or more brains working on the whole problem together, everybody's needs, everybody's wants, everybody's goals, everybody's limitations or constraints, then you'll be able to find a solution that is a win for everyone. And it's really important to install and instill that mindset when you're approaching problem solving, because ultimately compromise is asking or pushing people to give up a piece of their want, their need, their goal, or to push their boundary just for one person to get what they want. Step three is asking the solution-oriented question. How can we work together to find solutions that account for all the needs, all the goals, and all the constraints here? And that's when you can start working together to brainstorm and sift through the ideas that give as much as possible to everyone involved under all of the constraints. I know it can sound overly simple, and yet it can be really hard to put into practice. It might even seem like it won't work in every situation. You might even think it won't work in most situations. And to be fair, I can't guarantee it will work for every single situation. What I can say is we often assume there are fewer resources and more limitations than there really are. And when we show up with a solution in mind, we can end up fighting each other to try to extract and pull and push and get whatever we can. Compromise assumes there's no other way, that for one person to get what they want, the other one must give up something important to them. It comes from assuming that resources and solutions are limited and tends to create tension, trying to argue your own point or convince the other person to get in line with your way of thinking. But the turnkey solution paradigm is that it's a powerful way to work together on a solution instead of working against each other or defaulting to compromise. The way I see it, compromise is trying to take the fast way out, but it ends up cutting corners and creates more conflict or tension than it ends up resolving in the long run. So stop fighting people in your life, treating everyone's wants, needs, and goals like scraps that need to be fought over. The turnkey solution paradigm, use it to work together and creatively generate strategies and solutions that are a true win for everyone involved. And on that note, I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. If you learned something valuable today, take a moment to rate and review the podcast. It helps grow the show and gives more smart, high-performing, results-driven people like you the ability to learn and apply high-leverage psychology to your business and life. The Business Couch with Dr. Yishai podcast is produced by Dr. Yishai and PodTech. Music by www.purple-planet.com. Dr. Yishai is a psychologist, but not your psychologist. The conversations and content of this podcast do not contain or create any psychology practice, diagnosis, or therapist-patient relationship with the guest or listener. The information contained in this publication is for general informational purposes only and shall not be relied on or construed as coaching advice or therapy. So do your own research before using anything from this podcast. Thanks again for listening. I hope today's episode fulfilled my mission to help you leverage psychology better in your business and life.